Psalm 92. Verse 1 says, it says a psalm or song for the Sabbath day. That's the kind of the intro. But verse 1 says this: "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. Upon instrument of 10 strings and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for just, we're already feeling your presence tonight, already worshiping tonight. Lord, I pray that you would help me to continue, Lord, to preach, do what you've called me to do tonight. Lord, touch my voice. Lord, fill me with the unction of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I ask that just your will would be done. And in Jesus' name we pray, and amen. Amen. So he starts out, this is a psalm or a song for the Sabbath day. We don't know who wrote this psalm, but we know that they would sing this on the Sabbath. And we know that for the New Testament church, we worship on Sunday, the day that Jesus rose. So I think about what's something good, instructions for the Lord's day. And he starts it off right at the beginning as talking about a psalm of giving thanks. He says, what a statement it starts out with. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. It's a good thing. That's what the Bible says right off the bat. In fact, if you think about it, the best thing that you and I can do to start the Sabbath day, to start the Lord's day, is to thank God. The best thing we can do is to thank God on a Sunday. And I think, you know, a couple weeks ago on a service, I can't remember if it was a Wednesday or a Sunday night, we took out some specific time just to come to the altar and to thank God. And that was I still can't get over that. I keep thinking about it, even though the weeks have passed since it happened. And it just goes to show that if we take out some specific time to thank God, it will always be a blessing. It will always be helpful. And he says it is a good thing. What can we thank God for? We can thank God for who he is. We can thank God for his word. We can thank God for giving us this church to come together, what he's done for us, for saving our souls, what he's done for our families. We look around. We've been blessed with what he's given to us. The many blessings that, you know, sometimes I just stop and I look around at the house that he's given me and the family, and I say, thank you, God. I don't deserve any of this, but thank you for giving it to me. And you know, a lot of times when I thank him like that, then I have to turn around and say, God, I need help. I don't want to mess this up, what you've given to me. I don't want to do that. But anytime we take time to thank God, it's a good thing. And do you know what? We always have more to thank God for than the time that we have. We could spend every waking moment of the day thanking him. We can't do that. We don't have the energy. And a lot of times we forget all the things we need to thank God for. But every time we thank God, the Bible says it's a good thing. There is nothing that I have found that lifts me up when I am down, that strengthens me when I feel weak, that I just start to thank God for different things. It always gives me extra energy and starts to lift my spirit. And that's why God said it's a good thing. Here's another good thing from verse 1. To sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. Do you realize something? We have no higher calling in this life than to praise our God. No higher calling than to worship the Lord that saved us. In fact, I was thinking about Revelation chapter 4. That's when a door was opened up into heaven and John looked up and immediately he was in the Spirit. And in fact, that was on the Lord's day as well. And there, the first thing that he beheld, he saw a throne. But I'm glad it didn't stop there, it says. And one was on the throne. Praise God, the throne was and empty. One sat on the throne. But one of the things that caught my attention and came to my mind was that, remember, there's those four beasts that were flying around, the four different ones that he describes. And it says, the Bible says, And they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Those beasts are the cherubim. They're some of the highest order of the, if you were to rank the angels, they're in the highest group. In fact, Satan was once one in that group. In the worshiping crowd, the very powerful angels, very intelligent and everything else you would use to describe them, that God created. And do you realize this high order of angel, powerful, intelligent, blessed, you know what job he gave them to do? The highest job of all. There's many jobs that we could think of, but day and night, forever, he's got them praising the Lord. What a job. What a blessing to have that job that they have. But I'll tell you what, anytime you and I praise God, we are doing our highest calling as well. We do it from time to time down here. We can't praise all the time, but I'm glad we'll get to heaven and we can praise him over and over and over again, just like we'll never run out of time to thank him. We'll never run out of time to praise him. And it's a good thing to praise the Lord. When we come in here, it's not a duty. It's not a ritual. It is a blessed thing that we are created to praise God. We're created to worship God. So when we come in here and do these things, God says it's a good thing. It's a good thing on the Lord's day to do that. And in fact, this is what he's created us to do. And look at this. Look at verse 2. To show forth thy loving kindness in the morning. Do you see what he's saying right here? That loving kindness is another word for mercy. He's saying, look, as we're giving thanks, one of the things we can give thanks for in the morning is his mercy. Aren't you glad his mercies are new every morning? Somebody's already said it. The fact that we can wake up in the morning is because God is merciful to us. The fact that we're here today and we've got our health and strength is because of God's mercy. And in fact, it's a good thing to start out the morning and to thank God for his mercies. You know what else? If it wasn't for his mercies, you and I wouldn't be able to come and to worship him in spirit and in truth. We wouldn't be able to approach heaven because of our iniquity. It separated us. But aren't you glad that Jesus Christ came to die for the sins of the world? And aren't you glad he didn't just do that for all the world, but also he sent the Holy Spirit to touch our hearts. He sent a man of God, and he sent Christian brothers and sisters to witness the gospel to us. And through all of that and touching our heart and the good news of the gospel, we can say thank you, not just that your mercy was for all, but your mercy was for me as well. And I remember the day he touched my heart. I'll never forget the day. In fact, I forget so many things that have happened more recently than that day. But I'll tell you what, I'll never forget down the road in Ashley when I prayed and asked Jesus into my heart. What a blessed day. And we can thank him every morning for saving our soul, for keeping us, for helping us, and all the things that he does for us. It's a good thing to do in the morning. We see that, showing forth his mercy. But not only that, he gives us something that we can close our day with. Do you see that? In verse 2, and thy faithfulness every night. I was thinking about that. And I said, you know what? There's been times at night, I don't know about you, before I go to sleep, that I just think about some of the things. And I've thanked him in the evening for different things that he's done. And this verse kind of showed me that I need to do more of that. I need to look, and it's talking about his faithfulness in this on this side in the evening. And I thought, you know what we can do every day? Is we can take an account of that day and figure out and find some of the things that God has done that day that shows that he's faithful. In fact, we can go through and we can say, you know what, God, you did this today, which is something you promised that you would do, which means you've been faithful today. I guarantee if you end your day doing that, if you do that at night, you will get a better night's sleep. Because some of those times our mind is racing about all the things that we need to do, all of the things for the next day, everything that we're missing, all the tasks that need to be done. Yet yet, if we would just close our day and say, Lord, you were faithful throughout the day with me, then that will bring peace, knowing that the same God that was faithful today is the same God that will be faithful tomorrow. I don't know what tomorrow will bring, but I know that my God will be faithful tomorrow, because he is a faithful God. We can look back through all of our life and see that he is faithful as he promised. And I'll tell you what, we could get to the end of the age, if there ever is one, and we could say the same thing. God was faithful every step of the way.
Amen.
Closing the day. It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing into his praises. I tell you what, it's a good thing to thank him for his mercy in the morning and his faithfulness every night. We get to verse 4, and it says this, "For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands." You know, this verse 4 is opposite of the world, isn't it? This world, men is thankful and for what he does. Men are thankful for the work of their own hands. Men are proud of the work that they do. Isn't that what this world does? And it can creep into our lives as well. That pride of, look what I've built. Look what I've designed. Look what I've worked hard to do. But here is the key right here. You want to talk about giving thanks and mercies and God's faithfulness? For the Lord has made me glad through thy work. This is the Lord's work he's talking about. That gladness can come, that not with what I have done and I have built, but what he has done and why what he has built. We look in our lives, like I said, it's been a blessing thinking that I answered the call to preach 9 years ago. But over and over again, when I think about those 9 years, I think about what he built, because I can see on my side what you can't see. And on my side, there's a lot of resistance. On my side, there's a lot of excuses. On my side, there's hesitancy. And on my side, there's falling short. Oh, but on his side, he is faithful. On his side, he's supplied every need. He's given me grace and strength. So what you may see is something that looks polished and good and powerful. And I have to step back and say, that's not the works of Mike. That's the works of the Lord. And that makes me glad that he can take my shortcomings and he can put his grace there and make something that's a blessing. I'm glad for that. And we can find that same thing in our lives, where it's his work that's done what we have today. Our families, if you have a strong Christian family, that is not because of what we've done. It's in spite of what we've done. It's because of his work. Right? If we have got any type of thing that's strong in the Lord, it's because of his work. Let's go on. It says, I will triumph in the works of thy hands. That's a big word, triumph, isn't it? That's a powerful word. That's not, I'll just barely get the victory. I'll triumph.
Yeah.
A lot of times we tackle things, and I don't know about you, but I don't think about triumphing. I think about barely getting it done or barely accomplishing it. But see, I believe that's why he tells us to start verse 4, to be glad in the work of the Lord. And then knowing what he's done, you apply that to the future and say, you know what? If it's me or you doing it, we might fail, or we might barely succeed, or we might just do a just enough to get by. Oh, but if it's the Lord's work, it's not just enough to get by. It's a triumph. I tell you what can he do with the works of his hands? You look outside these windows. It's amazing what he has built in this earth. Man has tried to destroy the earth, and man is trying to convince us that we will destroy the earth. But I'm looking around, like Preston said, the sun still came up in the morning. It's still going to set tonight. If the Lord doesn't come back, that moon is right where it needs to be, pulling the tides in one direction. The gravity is holding us on. We're just the right space from the sun. If we were closer, we'd burn up. If we further away, we'd freeze. The earth spins at the right speed, so no one spot gets too hot. I'm telling you what, God has made it perfect.
Yeah.
The other day we had the anatomy scan for the twins where they count the fingers and toes and measure all kinds of things. And I had just as she is showing each thing, we've seen it with Harper, but then we're seeing it again. And that ultrasound is so precise that I was watching there. You know, she takes the thing from here to here, you know, from the knee to here. It was only 2.5 centimeters. And I was thinking, that's only that long. And then as she's showing the inside, she said, here's the spleen. Here's the adrenal gland on top of the kidney. Here is this. Here's this part of the heart. And then she said, the heart is only the size of the tip of your fingernail at that point. And I thought, my goodness, I can see all four chambers. I can see the valves working and everything else. That's God. Yeah. That's not an accident. That's a miracle. Yeah. That's God. And it just amazes me. Our technology has finally gotten to a point where we could see a little further into what we couldn't see before and see how amazing God's work is. He triumphs. But you know what? If He's working in us, there can be triumph as well. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Look, let's go on. Verse 5. O Lord, how great are thy works. I've already kind of covered this. You look at the earth. You look at all these things. It's amazing things that He has created. And then look how it goes further. And thy thoughts are very deep. Our thoughts, His thoughts are deep. You know how we know that? Because His book is deep. Right? I've never encountered anything like this Bible. It amazes me. This morning we were looking at a story of a man thousands of years ago, and it applied to our life. Nothing written by men thousands of years ago applies that closely to today. Nothing. In fact, a lot of it doesn't even hardly work anymore. In fact, our society right now is canceling things. Have you ever noticed how quickly they're canceling it and how close they're moving to the present? Right? First, they're canceling things from the 50s and 60s. They've moved up from the 70s, 80s. They're starting to cancel things in the 90s. And in fact, I'm seeing things from the early 2000s that they're canceling. You know what that tells me? That man is so short-sighted that they can't even figure out what will not be offensive in 20 years, right? Yet our God, thousands and thousands of years ahead of time, knows exactly what we need for every day. I tell you what, I hear the thoughts of men today, and it is so shallow, and it is so ridiculous, and I am just amazed at how I don't want to say it, but how D-U-M-B that a lot of these people are. We got kids around, and we don't want them to pick up certain words, but here's the thing, that's how our society is getting, isn't it? Yet, we've got God on the other side. His thoughts are very deep. In fact, His thoughts are deeper than our thoughts. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And I say, praise God. His ways are not our ways. Praise God. Because I don't know about you, I've cooked up some plans in my mind that compared to God's plan is ridiculous. And then I watch what He did. And say, thank you, God, for not letting me take care of that one myself. Your ways and thoughts were so much higher. But look, we'll finish with verse 6. Do you see what this says? So first, verse 5, thy thoughts are very deep. Verse 6, a brutish or foolish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. Aren't we seeing this today? God's thoughts are deep. God's word is deep. It's perfect. It's pure. And yet we've got a brutish man, a foolish man knoweth not. Isn't that the sad thing of our society today? We have got the answers to everything. We've got the answers to how to run a government. We've got the answers on how to take care of race relations and nation versus nation. We've got a book that tells you how you need to treat one another, how to act and everything else. Yet, we've got so many that are in positions of power and have such great educations and everything else. Yet, God sums it up with this. They're foolish and they don't know. And that's sad. That's sad that we've got such access to this book. Yet, they don't even take it. Neither doth a fool understand this. What does a fool not understand? Everything we've just talked about. A fool does not understand that it's good to give thanks to God instead of to yourself, right? A fool doesn't understand why we should worship God. They're thinking, well, you can't see him. Surely he's not real, right? A fool doesn't understand the fact that our God is merciful. We see that a lot, don't we? They think our God is a hater, or they think our God is powerless to stop the evil that's going on, right? They're fools. A fool doesn't understand that God, in fact, is faithful, and we should be thankful for that. A fool, like we said, doesn't understand that the Lord is working each and every day, all the time. If the Lord wasn't working in our country, you thought it was a mess, it would be over. If the Lord wasn't working in our families and he wasn't protecting, our families would be nothing. Same with our life. We would be done. And a fool, they don't understand that. And a fool doesn't understand that you would triumph if God was working through your life. You know what they think triumph comes from? Hard work, perseverance, dedication, right? That's what they say. You put the work in, you put the time and the effort in, you'll either move up or start your own business or something like that and become a success. And it is just foolish to this world to think that instead of relying on our own strength and determination and power, that we would rely on God, isn't it? Because when we talk about walking by faith, this world thinks that's foolish. Why would you do that? And then we say, why wouldn't we? We can't do this on our own. A fool doesn't understand how great the works of the Lord are. Right? We know that. They think that this world was created by a big bang, yet they won't tell us how the bang started or what kicked it off or where the stuff came from to start it. Right? That's foolish. I went through plenty of science classes over the years in high school and in college, and they would bring up the same things, and I'd get to the same point. Well, what'd you do before that?
Yeah.
Right? Oh, you had heat and light and matter. Well, why don't you build it without any of those three and get back to me? Right? They can't. They got to start with something. I'll tell you what. Our God started with nothing. He stepped out on nothing, into nothing, and created everything from nothing.
Amen.
That's our God. And they think that we're foolish for believing that. They think that we're foolish for believing that the earth isn't as old as billions and billions of years. And it's funny because I've had people say, well, but Mike, things were old. Things are really old on this earth. Well, yeah, Adam was really old. He looked really old when he was one day old, didn't he? God could do that with Adam. He could do that with a tree or a mountain or anything else. But see, they don't understand that. They don't understand it because they won't put their mindset in what God has said. But aren't you glad that even though this world may call us fools, God said, you're not a fool. You're not a fool if you know that it's me. You're not a fool if you trust in my word. You know what? That makes us wise in his wisdom. But I want to wrap it up today. What's a good psalm for the Lord's day? It's one that gives thanks. It's one that praises God from the morning in his mercies into his faithfulness every night. I didn't talk about verse 3, but it's okay to use instruments. It's fine. We don't have to get rid of them. It's right there. And then he's made us glad when we realize it's him working in us and realize how great his works are and how deep his thoughts are. And then we can finally say, praise God. I used to be verse 6, right? Before we were saved, we used to be the foolish ones. But aren't you glad? He's given us a new mind and a new heart.
Amen.
Given us his word and a Holy Spirit to teach us. That's plenty of things to be thankful for, isn't it? I'm going to ask everyone to stand. What a wonderful psalm for today. What a wonderful bit of encouragement. But like I said, I think we should take verse 2 and challenge ourselves. If you don't do this already, challenge yourself this week in the morning to thank God for his mercies. And at night, to thank Him for His faithfulness. Amen. And see how your week turns out. Oh, I'm not saying that things won't go wrong. But see how your mindset is as the week goes.
Yeah.
See what you think about God as the week goes. Tell me how your prayer life and your life in the Word and life praising Him. Tell me how that goes. And we'll see what happens in a week. I guarantee it'll change us. But maybe you want to come to the altar. Maybe you need to pray about something. The altar's open tonight. Or maybe you just want to come to the altar and thank Him for something. We can do that too, as Brooke sings. What a God. What a God. We're reminiscing about things that, powerful things that God has done. It's always a blessing to look across. I like to preach at different places, but I also like to preach here because I can look across and see miracle after miracle where God's brought us through things, where we've served together, where we've witnessed together. Say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, we're not on our own. Thank you, Lord, that He's put us together. One of the things that amazes me is when you think about the work of God, is Jesus is the chief cornerstone. But the Bible says the church, He's fitly framed us together.
Amen.
You know, we were talking about that with the work day yesterday. How amazing it is that God gave us the exact people that we need with the right talents that we needed at the right time together.
Yes.
You know, God will do that every time.
Amen.
It's not an accident He's put us together. It's not an accident He's given each of us different gifts. He said, I want you to fit together.
Yeah,
we can thank God for that. Thank Him. Praise Him for His works. Church may be small. It may look weak to the outside. But God said, you just take a few that trust Me. Put them together. He said, watch what happens. Amen. I believe that, don't you, church?
Amen.
I believe it. I believe He's got great things in store. All right, let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word tonight. We thank You for its truth. Lord, I pray that You would help us this week, Lord, to be purposeful in thanking You. And Lord, help us to continue to have a desire for prayer and to digging into Your Word. And Lord, I pray that You would open up opportunities for each of us each day. Lord, whether it be work or with friends or family or even strangers, you know, that we meet. Lord, I pray that You'd open up opportunities, give us the words to say, and Lord, that Your Holy Spirit would just touch hearts and bring revival, Lord, to this land. We need it. And Lord, if we can be a small part in Your plan, we can be triumphant through Your hands. And Lord, we thank You for all things. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right.